Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your host and engineer for tonight's show of the science of your health and you. We're here today experiencing another opportunity to be together and learn from each other and empower each other, which is really the most important thing that we strive to do here on IWDM Radio. So I want to welcome everybody today. Those who are on the internet calling in, we appreciate you. I know you can't speak, but we can call in and leave a text if you want to have a question being asked by our guest today or our reoccurring host. You have that opportunity to call in at 650-669-0458, and you can text your question in, and we'll be able to ask that question for you online. In the meantime, those of you who are on the line, once again, thank you for showing up tonight. We thank you for sharing this information. Those of you who receive texts and emails from me, just take a few minutes before we get started. Call your neighbor. Call your friend. This is a family affair. We want you to share. We want you to let someone else know that you're learning something that's pertinent, that's going to make your life change. You know, we're talking about the science of you. So when I talk about healthcare, and I always talk about self-care, you know, that word health kind of throws you off a little bit. We're talking about self-care because we're dealing with your mental capabilities, your mental possibilities. We're showing you how your brain and your mind has to work together in order to have a healthy, optimal disposition about yourself. It's called root-based therapy. So what we're going to talk about today is basically symptometry, which we do, which is a study of the human cell. It's the field of therapeutics that focuses solely on the well-being of our living cells. And we know we have 200 different cell types, ladies and gentlemen, 200 cell types. Let that soak in. Do we know what one of them does? Do we know what any of them do? And these different cell types produce 11 systems: our mind, our reflexes, our mechanisms, our plexus, our membranes, our sinuses. All these body functions consist of 11 different systems. And that's what we're focusing in on. We know that in order to do this, in order to have an objective cell nourishment program, we have to know about blood sanitation. We have to know about regular cell maintenance. And we've been doing a lot since we started this show back in November of 2021. We've covered so many avenues from coronavirus, vaccines, high blood pressure, diabetes, edema, mental conditions, all different types of functionalities that cause our bodies to not function in the correct way. But we've been given this education. We've been given this quality medical information free. It hasn't cost you anything. And you have the opportunity to learn more about yourself than you've ever learned through our series of shows that we have presented in a very intense but also an educational way. We even covered soil, plants, animals. We talked about the makeup of the human body, internally and externally. We've covered women's health, reproductive systems. We discussed all types of diseases and the curability of each of those particular diseases. So this information that you're receiving freely is priceless. We cannot put a price on this. We cannot even grasp the magnitude of what we don't know that we don't know. So that's why we ask you to come in every week with your pad and your pen, with a neighbor, with a child, with an uncle, sister, cousin, brother, because all of us know one thing, that we all know somebody who is not well. So if we can come to this one conclusion, we're going to be fine, that none of us are well. We have a long way to go. We have years and years of misuse and abuse and making mistakes with our body, and now we see the result of that. You know, our book teaches us that your body will testify against you in this life as in the hereafter. So whatever it is, if you don't feel well, if you got pains here and there, you got a little excess on top of excess, and your head hurt, you don't know why, you get up in the morning and can't really get it together, it's because of something that you did, a mistake that you made. And this show is designed to help you correct that. Health care information, for once, we can get it properly, and we don't have to go to anybody else. We don't have to spend any money at the hospitals or the doctors to do that. So let me just say this. We're not here to give medical advice. So we want to get that out the way. We're not here to give medical advice, but we are here to do provide you education. So when you do get a medical advice, you can ask the right questions. So instead of having someone tell you what to do, give you appeal upon appeal upon appeal, and hopefully that you may feel better. And, you know, we talked about statin drugs. We talk about some of everything, your DNA. How much? Most of us know nothing about our DNA, our RNA, the three RNAs, our genes, our makeup as human beings. We don't know that. And I'm just so happy and so excited every week to be able to share this information with you. And I hope and pray that you sharing information with you on how we must change our diet, how we must nourish ourselves, how we must learn how to eat and think scientifically. These are so important. So I hope we can understand the keys of the brain and the mind that, you know, if the brain and the mind don't are not in agreement with each other, we tend to have some difficulties. So we want to make sure we get ourselves together. We're not too old. We're not too young. And I'm just excited, guys, today. You know, this probably is the first time that I've been calm since last Wednesday. We have a new guest on today. We're going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to provide you with a new thought process. We're going to provide you with something that you probably didn't know, but it's still right in line on what we've been talking about the whole time. That's the brain. That's the mind. You know, uncovering those that information that we have no idea about, on the tools and resources to guide us. But here is the key tonight's show. We have an author on show tonight, and I'm just so excited. When I asked him to come on The Science of Healthy You, I'm sure he was trying to figure out, wait a minute, it's a health show, right? Well, we got mental health. That's one of our problems. And what he's providing tonight is mental health. The name of his book, Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. Now, that's enough for me to buy the book right now without even knowing any more about it. Anybody who comes up with a name like that must know what he's talking about. So this dream of our ancestors is our destiny, and I'm looking forward to hearing from him tonight. But just let me give you a little information about what I know about him. This is his fourth publication. In 2015, he came out with a book called Success is Automatic. I have that book as well. In 2018, he came out with a book, The Community is Born, Calling the World to Human Excellence, The Story of Bilal. 2017, he came out with my favorite, and I'm still studying it to this day, called The River of Gold. And it is an amazing piece of material. This African-American grill that I'm about to present to you today is now in February of this year, have come out with Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to give him your undivided attention. I can't even control myself. I got my pad and paper ready to go, but I just want you to pay attention to something today. We're talking about the human psyche. We talk about things that we have never heard before. When you talk about a griot is a storyteller. He's an African-American storyteller. He knows history. He studied history. So he has something to bring to us tonight. We're not going to waste any more time. I know you guys tired of hearing me talk. We're going to bring on Imam Shahid Abdullah and let him talk to us tonight about some things that I believe are going to be so exciting that all of us can be trying to battle before the show is over. Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam. How you doing? Hello? Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam. Are you there? You're live. I at this particular point in time, I cannot hear you, but we're gonna make you gonna take care of that right now.
I don't know whether or not your audience can hear me or not, but I can hear you clearly.
Okay, Abdul, can you hear him?
I can barely hear him.
Oh. Here, we're going to take care of this right now. Okay. You're already speaking, my brother.
Can you
Yes, sir.
That's a little bit better.
Go ahead.
I want to just thank you so very much for the wonderful introduction and getting me introduced to your St. Paul audience. And I imagine it's going to be a wonderful future in the near future for this organization and the way you're moving toward health, because health is so vital. My name, as Brother Rashid said, is Shahid Abdullah, the African Malian American Creole, and I've been in this studying the history of the African American people and the culture for over 30 years. I'm hail from New Jersey, the East Coast. I've studied sociology, my degrees in sociology, my books all relate to the science and development of culture in one way or another, either specifically talking about culture, indirectly talking about culture, and how valuable culture is to the evolution of a people. And in my studies and in my findings, I have to agree to some of the great scholars that came before me, and I have to agree with some of the present scholars that there was something taking place within the development of the African-American people that was hidden. It was hidden in the way they was developed, and it was hidden in the way they were treated. And this goes far beyond the concept of Willie Lynch's letter. It's far beyond Willie Lynch's letter. In fact, that would be considered child's play compared to what went on and how that developed the African-American community and how they're being taken advantage of today because of the early schemes that were put into place during colonial time to, let's say, to abort the evolution of the African-American culture. And this is what I found out, and as I said before, also some other scholars have pointed this out, and I agree with what they said in terms of how the African-American culture has been put in a state of not only being aborted, but put in a state of becoming extinct over a period of time because of the direction we are taking due to the following the language, following the ideas, following the concept of the European financial predators culture. And we have to be able to sort of separate the European into categories, because all Europeans are not financial predators. Some of them are innocently being taken down the road of this experiment, and some of them are part of it. But the scheme that developed on the colonial time affects us all because it distorts our culture, and it makes it difficult for us to plan. Just like, for example, we're talking about health. Where does the concept of health begin? The concept of health begins in culture. Every culture has its tie into what keeps its people healthy, whether it be socially, whether it be mentally, whether it be physically or biologically. They have an idea of what keeps that culture, the people of that culture, healthy and viable and moving into the future. Every culture develops this. This is what medicine evolved from. And now, this is not exclusive just to European cultures or even African cultures or any other Far Eastern cultures. This is inclusive of every culture. The reason we have such a problem with our culture and how we approach the healthiest aspect, whether it be mental or physical, of our culture is because of this distortion that has taken place in the African-American community and the knowledge that's presented to us because of this scheme that Brother Rashid spoke of is a gripping narrative about the African-American culture that is woven in suspense, hidden in layers of deception, locked in a system of distorted history. Now, we're coming through that. Some others are conscious of it, and others are not conscious of it. And because of that impact it's having on our development, we tend to make up our everyday lives, everyday behavior, based on a scheme that's in our subconscious. What the book Uncovering the Scheme does, it peels back the layer of this deception to expose the key events that are surrounded by surprising information, packed in sometimes inspiring, but sometimes can be disturbing information that sort of like gives a reader an idea to know that it's not just a bad situation that was going on in the past. It was not about that kind of slavery. We're not talking about the torturing. That's not the idea of peeling back these layers of information. The idea of peeling back these layers of information is to give vital knowledge on how a culture evolves and how we can best take advantage of that culture. Unfortunately, most African Americans are unaware we have a culture because we tend to think that a culture is about singing and dancing and wearing clothes and eating a couple dishes here and there. We think the culture is a very light thing, but it's totally misdirected information that we receive to make us think that culture is that insignificant. Culture is every breath that we take is because of our culture. Every breath that we take is because of the culture that was surrounding our birth, and it surrounds us during our education. It surrounds us as we relate to each other, as we're talking, in this program. The words we use directly evolve from our cultural experience and how that experience affects our understanding and perceptions of which we have about what we are trying to achieve. So in order to give a little clear picture of the uncovering the schemes, it's very important that we have which defines culture. And I simply want to just give a clinical definition of culture to maybe put us all on the same page. Some of us already on that page. I'm very aware that we're dealing with a very astute audience, and many may be on this page already. But culture is a distinct social system that is a cumulative deposit of knowledge, language, experience, beliefs, values, attitudes, meanings, hierarchies, and religion, notions of time, roles that each individual plays in that culture, spiritual relationships, concepts of the universe, the material objects and possessions acquired by its people over the course of generations through individuals and through groups. This is a basic culture. All those aspects are very important. Many of those aspects have been pulled out of the African-American culture because those who are scheming to get the wealth from the African-Americans and keep the African-American culture from evolving know that those particular elements are the elements that motivate the people. For example, language. Most cultures are connected by language. And the language holds them together and promotes their ideas and thinking. Most African Americans don't even realize we have a language because we're still looking to Africa or to another country or to the Arabia or to the Moorish people for what we think was our language. But our language is formed here in America. The way you find out about a people, you got to look at the place of origin. The place where the people evolved from will give you their biological makeup, and their cultural makeup. The heredity is in two parts, biological and cultural, and they all begin at the place of origin. The African-American's place of origin was right here in America. When the different Africans were brought from different parts of Africa, the western part of Africa, and all of them come from the western part, and all were slaves, but those who came from Africa began to mingle with the other Africans and with the Native American and with the European American. It's voluntary or involuntary, but it took place. And that relationship caused the people there to become a different people than any people on the earth. Even the Africans who were taken to South America didn't undergo a process that the Africans were undergoing that came to North America. The Africans that came to North America under the British rule had to undergo a system called selective breeding. The selective breeding process took place because the British outlawed the slave trade. And when they stopped the slave trade to North America, they didn't stop the slave trade to South America. And by stopping the slave trade to North America, the slave owners had to produce slaves from within. And the way they did that was to breed. That didn't happen in South America, pardon me. It didn't happen in South America because there was no restrictions. So they can go back and forth to Africa and get slaves whenever they wanted. But in North America, they had to begin to breed slaves. And as they breeded the slaves, the whole genetic makeup of the African-American people changed. It improved, as breeding does, and most of you who are in the sciences know that breeding is a process that usually enhances the two particular, all three, or how many elements are used to breed, and those elements become best, better, and stronger, simply because the strong of the genetic makeup outweighs the weak of that same genetic makeup. So you have a strengthening taking place that the European American does not like to talk about much, but they imply it. But they don't talk about it in the sense that this also not only makes them better physically, makes them better mentally, makes them better decision makers, all those type things, because that would give the African American more confidence, more in terms of how they can achieve their goals. But what the European has done, European financial predators, what they have done, they shadowed that. They would tell you that we are some of the greatest athletes in the world. They would tell you that the genetic makeup of the African American is different. We found that out when they had the situation in 1974 with the HeLa cell that they got from Loretta Hadmeier-Lacks. African-Americans had these qualities. They don't like to talk about these qualities. But some other aspects that the African-Americans developed, not only did they develop biologically differently, they were developing spiritually differently, because we began to see our relationship to the Supreme Being differently than the European was showing us the relationship between man and the Creator. And not only that, we used the language that we developed called Geechee. Many of you might have heard the term before, but that was the language. It was a combination of the African dialects, English, and Arabic, and Native American. All those were put together, and the language, they called it Geechee because the people lived near the Ogeechee River, which was a Native American pronunciation of the river that ran from northern Atlanta, northern Georgia, and down into the Delta to southern Georgia. So they were called the Ogeechee. So they broke it down to call the Geechee language. And the Geechee language was what began to unite the people together. And they were able to pull their people together during that time and start to escape from the plantations and go further south into Florida and set up towns like Fort Moosehead, which they still exist, and a couple other towns that before the slave Emancipation Proclamation ever took place. But this whole process is in the concept that the African American was evolving into a culture. And I would like to say how important that is, because people who come to America, when they come to America, they come with the idea and thinking of building what they had in their previous country, either something similar or something exactly the same, or improving on what they had. That's not unusual for them to want to call New York or New Amsterdam after a European name, after the Duchess of York or Chicago. All the names that we have in America, the majority of them, either directly from Europe or some Native American, but most of them from directly from Europe, because there was redeveloping their concepts and ideas that they got from Europe and bringing them to this country. That's not unusual. The African was doing the same thing when they were developing their language, developing their thinking. And the European began to realize what was going on. And then the European tried to stunt that growth by bringing into existence what we call segregation. But before we would even look at segregation, we would have to look at the cause of segregation. The cause of segregation didn't start here in the 1920s and the 1921, our generation. The cause of segregation started in colonial time, and it wasn't a color issue. There was never a color issue. The issue that brought about segregation was a political issue. A political issue that was started by European settlers, European frontiersmen. Nathaniel Bacon was the leader. He was a European. But he thought that the rulership in Jamestown, Virginia, should give him as much authority as some of the other European people had. And they refused. So he united the Native Americans and the Africans all into one group, and they attacked Jamestown, Virginia. They burned it to the ground. And what happened is that before they really could have a complete takeover, Nathaniel Bacon passed. He passed of dysentery in 1 year. When they got some help, when the European controllers got some help from England, Bacon had already died. It took him about 7 years to clear out all of the pockets of resistance that was created by Bacon. And so what they asked the English government to do for them, they asked the English government to let them put in a concept of divide and conquer. And that concept of divide and conquer was to tag the European settlers with the label of white, call them white people, and give them privileges that other people who were not called white people didn't have. This began the face of the concept of white superiority. And this was a notion by the colonial controllers because this was the method they thought would divide the people. Then they wrote it into law. Then they said that Africans do not have the same privileges as white people. They don't have the privilege of having a gun. They could not marry white women, and they could not hold offices in the law or the government. These laws all were put together in colonial America, and these are the laws that affect the thinking of the people today. Whenever you hear the term white use, regardless of how smooth it sounds, white is used as a standard of privilege. The one who bears that label has more privileges than the one who does not bear that label. That happens in the subconscious of the mind. That happens in everybody's mind, no matter if you don't consciously emotions in the mind. Because as most of you know, probably most of your listeners know, because it's a deal with health, that the, everything that enters the mind is kept in the impulses in the hippocampus region of the brain. And those impulses cannot be removed. They're there in the hippocampus of the brain. The only thing you can do is the same thing you would do with a computer, is override the program. You have to override the program because the program cannot be deleted. You can't delete from the hippocampus. You can't delete impulses from the hippocampus. But they can be overridden. So the African-American has to become conscious of the language that the European is using to keep his mind enslaved. If he uses white at any time, he is saying he's superior. If he uses white at any given function, he is saying they have more privilege than whoever is not white. Then they turn around and say things like, people of color. That, if that's not a racist statement, that never been one. If you say all the other people are people of color, then what are you? He said he's superior. This is the language they use in order to keep the conversation flowing in a direction by which they can keep the African-American culture from evolving. And the African-American is used to overriding some of the language that's in the European-American's school system, his houses of worship. Everywhere they present themselves consciously or unconsciously, because all of them are not conscious of what we're talking about now. Most of them are, but all of them are not. This is something that the African-American people must deal with. We must deal with the fact that we have to begin to override the programming of the cultural concepts that were given to us by the European-American culture in order for us to advance. In order for us to advance in a natural way, the cultures develop naturally. And one of those ways is health. Now, health is essential to our survival. And it can't be a health that's given to us strictly by the European-Americans' culture, because their concepts are designed to advance European Americans. They use the African American as a base of experiments. They use us to experiment with the ideas and concepts that they think they may want to use at some time in the future. We have to be able to start thinking for ourselves. And in the book, I go through a process show how when we did have this opportunity, our forefathers took complete advantage of it. When the European claimed that segregation was constitutional, when they claimed it was segregation was constitutional and they began to separate the European from the African-American school systems and everywhere else, all public places, they thought they were putting the African-American at a disadvantage. But what happened, as I found that I will produce for you, Brother Rashid, and your listening audience, some of the materials that I have accumulated, and one of those is called the Negro Market. In that material, it's shown that a study was done in 1932 that bear witnesses to these particular facts and points I am beginning to talk about now. This study shows that the African American, when they were forced into isolation or what they call segregation, they advanced faster at any other time in their history. In fact, the statement was made that they advanced in such a way they became a strong body of people like any other nation would do in that same situation, which gave itself to saying that African Americans were becoming a nation of their own within their own community, was developing. That's what segregation did. See, most people thought segregation was a bad thing, but segregation gave the African American people an opportunity to come together and advance at a very high rate. And when the Europeans began to realize this, and after that 1932 publication or revealing what really was going on, they began to notice that the African Americans not only were making a great economic thrust in America, but they were benefiting health-wise. The African Americans were educating their own people in colleges and universities of medicine, and they had cut back on all diseases. They had cut the life expectancy of the African American child was far advanced than that of any other people because of that working together, because of that time we call segregation. In that, we learned to learn about our health, learn about our bodies. This is what your program, I believe, is talking about in terms of its totality, that the health is very important and how we can take advantage of some of the opportunities to advance in this concept and ideas. Our forefathers did it. Our ancestors did it. And this book, The Negro Market, pointed out every avenue on how that concept of Jim Crow was dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. And when they realized this, what they started to do, they said, what can we do? They came together, European financial predators came together, and political, not just financial, political predators, came together to try to figure out a way that they could take advantage of all the wealth that was developing in the African-American community and abort the evolution of the African-American culture. Of course, remember, many of you probably already know that at that period of time, a dollar in the African-American community would travel through 16 different hands before it leave the community. It'd take a year and a half before that dollar was out of the community.
Wow.
Now, it's like, it's not involved at all.
I guess.
Yeah, and so that just shows you the difference. Now, brother, at that time, you want me to...
Yes, sir.
I know.
You know, it's so important that we hear this basic foundation that you're laying out for us currently. You know, and these are things that we just don't know. Can you imagine our listening audience if our young children knew and was able to speak in the manner in which he's speaking to us today? You know, where would we be? Well, if we knew our culture, we knew that everything we generate and create has something to do with our being and disposition. So I'm just excited, brother, to have you here. We just thank you for sharing. But we do want to make an opportunity for those of you who have questions. You know, we have about another 25 minutes or so that he will be on the air, and we want to make sure he's able to get out what he wants to get out to us tonight, answer any questions that may happen. And he can leave some phone numbers and website addresses where you can access this particular book. But right now, I want to welcome those who have come on late to IWDM Radio. This is The Science of Healthy You. And we have Imam Shahid Abdullah here talking about and discussing with us uncovering the scheme of preventing the evolution of the African-American culture. And we've heard some phenomenal things. One of the things that stuck with me, and I want you to just share, which will probably be the first question, you mentioned the word extinct. And based on, you know, historical aspects and culture in this country and in this hemisphere, if you just touch bases on that a little bit before we open the lines up for questioning, the fact that we are in a situation where we could be on the brink of extinction when it comes to our community, when it comes to who we are.
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to not only talk a bit about that, but to remind your listeners that becoming extinct is not unusual. There are many species on this planet Earth became extinct this year. In fact, we're living in a country now where when the European American got here, there was 65 million Native Americans. Now it's about, of the same group, there's about 3 million. And then there was a group out in Mexico called the Aztecs. There were 25 million of them, and they're less than 3 million now. And then there was the difference of this particular development and how people become extinct. It gets to the point that when they can no longer reproduce children counteract disease and natural death, and then on the road to extinction. This is nothing new. It's nothing new, but it is beginning to affect the African-American people because we are falling behind in what they call the sub-replacement fertility rate. The sub-replacement fertility rate is the rate at which every woman, it has to average out to every woman. Every woman has to have two children, one to replace herself and one to replace her mate. If she doesn't have those two children, then that species, whatever the group is, are on the brink of extinction. And this isn't the natural law. This is probably why I touched my phone there. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir. We're good.
Okay. All right. We look into the aspect of the biblical aspect where God says to man, be fruitful and multiply. See, that was a command. That wasn't just a...
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, we still here, brother. Go ahead.
Okay. And that wasn't a thought or a passing remark. Hey, well, why don't y'all get together? It wasn't like that. It was a command because if you don't be fruitful, you will become extinct. That's the law in which nature is created. And the European American understands this because they are the ones who not just discovered but brought to the attention of most of the world this idea of the sub-replacement fertility rate. 10 years ago, the African-American sub-replacement fertility rate was 9, which means we are far above becoming extinct. Today is at 1.77, which means if we don't make some kind of ways to correct this particular flow, no matter how much money we have, how smart we are, who we think we are, we're becoming extinct. The civilization, the generation who will see themselves extinct is going to be absolutely too late for them. But generations who can see it coming, there are things we can do to avoid it.
Yes,
so, but we have to work very hard at it. We have to understand we are a species. Most of us don't even know we are a species. We see it every day. We come in contact with it every day. Don't realize that African-Americans are species. Species are not uncommon. You have in Africa, you have people who are 4 feet tall, all in the same, 4 feet or more or less, all in the same tribe, all in the same gathering, same group. Then you have some that's 6'6", 7'6", almost 7 feet in another group, and they all in the same group. Those are different species. Species can be made and born just in one generation. When a person from China has a baby with a person from Africa, that baby is born, it's neither Chinese nor African. It's a combination, and that combination produces another species. And if they keep doing that together, then those groups become a species to themselves. That's what happened to the African-American people, how we became a species. Now, the European is trying to wipe his hands clean of this whole act of the African-American and the conditions in slavery and all of those things. He's trying to wipe himself clean. And the only way he can do that is that if we disappear, there won't be nobody around to tell our story. But
yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So he's building museums hoping that that takes place. These museums are empty. He's not building cultural centers for the living.
Right.
But museums are for the dead.
Okay.
And so they're building museums all over the place. Jumping ahead,
right,
to African-American people,
yes,
get used to the idea,
right,
of dying and having your baby supported. You know, we abort babies at 5 times the rate of any other people.
Right.
And our women are sterilized almost 6 times the rate of any other people. They did a study in North Carolina. This is a real situation. And it's something we can't manage it because it's something beyond management. It's something we must take charge of. That we try to manage it and get out of hand. We have to take charge of the situation and begin to make those steps necessary. necessary to preserve our people as a species.
But that's beautiful, brother. You know, so the lines are open for those of you who want to make a phone call, want to call into the line and ask a question. Press 1 on your phone, and I'll recognize you. And for those of you who are on the Internet who have a question, I know this subject matter has touched a nerve because it surely has touched mine. Whoever thought that we didn't even know the definition for culture, a distinct social system, whoever thought we look at ourselves as a species and the fact that we could be extinct very shortly. It's not like we're talking about 100 years from now. We're talking about something that's in effect right now. So I'm excited about the opportunity. I'm excited about learning more. Your book, I'm sure, covers a lot of the things that you discussed with us in detail. And I know this is going to continue with you. You have that spirit to continue this educational process, and we're looking forward to more up-and-coming books. And as I said earlier, there's several books out that most of us don't know about, and those books are Success is Automatic. It came out in 2015, and then the one on Bilal, The Community is Born, 2018. And I'm telling you, you have to get The River of Gold, people, because that ties right into what we're doing currently, some of the historical aspects of what he's talking about. The River of Gold came out in 2017, and we're blessed to have this opportunity for him to continue to work and study for us. And in the same time, we must help promote and produce and help him continue producing this great work. So for those of you who have a phone, a question, please push 1 on your phone. Please push 1 on you. If you're like me, you're probably in shock, and I understand that. But the questions you ask may be a question somebody else may need to hear. So please, if you have anything that has affected your thinking process, if you just want to get a little greeting, just say something to him, please do. But I ask that you become brief, and we do have several hands raised right now, Brother Shaheed. So we're going to get those questions on the line. And welcome again to IWDM Radio, the Science of Health in You. And our guest speaker for tonight is Shaheed Abdullah. So we're going to take this phone. I know who this is, but let us state her name and tell you where you're calling from. This is 111111. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Where is that?
This is Sister Amina.
Yes, ma'am. You have a question for the Sister Amina?
Yes, I was on another line when your guest came on. I just wanted to know the name of the book and the brother's name. And I believe you just said Shaheed Abdullah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And what is the title of the book again? That's what I'm calling about, because I didn't hear from the beginning. I missed a few minutes. Just like I said, I just got off the line with someone.
Go ahead, Brother Abdullah. You can take care of it.
The name of the book is Uncovering the Scheme of Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture.
Uncovering the what?
The scheme.
Oh, the scheme. Like the scheme. Okay. S-C-H-E-M-E.
Right. Yes.
Like the schemes of Shaitan. Like the schemes. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And and where can we get the book? Or you'll say when your program is over.
Yes, ma'am. We'll make that possible for those who are on the line who are interested in getting the book right away. We'll make sure he provides that information before he leaves the air, okay? And our host, Abdul Shaheed, and myself, guys, have your number so we know how to get it to you, and you can call us and get the details, okay?
And I was also asking, I haven't gotten your email yet or whatever, you know, about the past shows.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm making a notation right now, and I'll make sure I get that out to you tonight, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And thank you for calling.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. We have 901-265. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open. 901-265. Your mic is open. Okay.
Linda Muhammad Frican here. I don't have a question. I was just calling to give the greetings and to say how much this community and the people of this United States would appreciate knowing how much work, care, and diligence that Shahid puts into his work and produces these books for us to learn more about ourselves and more about humanity, more about what things we've gone through as a people. So I just wanted to say that, and assalamu alaikum, Shahid, and keep up the wonderful work that you do.
Thank you, Sister Linda. Just push one on your phone and put one on your phone so we can get out of the switchboard. And thank you for acknowledging the great work that is being done. Okay, let me see here. We have 219-484. Your mic is open. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. 219-484. Please state your name. Your mic is open.
Yes, I was on mute. It's Dr. Jamal Rashid from Gary, Indiana. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
I'm just now hearing of you, and I want to know what is your basic premise for your information? Is it because we are thoroughly miseducated beyond academics and understanding that we are brainwashed into another degree. What is your premise or your thesis, I guess I should say, and your findings to come up with what you are presenting?
Well, my findings and my premise is basic to the concept of griot, the African term for the storyteller. So I follow that pattern to find information, all the information I can, uncover any misleading things or any direct things in language, and presenting that in a form by which I have come to an understanding through rational thinking and applying the logic to what I found to individuals and to groups so they could best understand it and use their own rational mind and their own logic thinking to see how this information can benefit them. Yeah, I think that it's very important we begin to think for ourselves what information we receive. We can't just make things just face value anymore because we see what has happened. We have to begin, even if it comes out of the mind of the darkest of African American, or the lightest of African American, or the European American, or any other human being, we must use our own rational mind to come to the logical conclusion that our understanding can bring us to. We got to think for ourselves.
Okay, and you mentioned the word griot. You mentioned the word griot, and so you are basically discovering information that it's passed down from generations that is totally, let's say, not known, but it's passed down through, as you say, rational mind. But it's well kept. It's I don't know if I'm saying secret, but griot, you know, is information that's passed on from generations that has been lost. And you have rediscovered that, and you're saying using our rational minds to rediscover what we have been missing. Is that somewhat what you're saying?
That's part of it. But remember what I remember, and I think most of the listening audience, including yourself probably also, is that a griot is the word which is used for a person who gathers information and puts it in a meaningful way that the people who he's talking to can understand it. Now, it doesn't have to be lost information, but many times it is. It has to be information that people are not privy to at the time.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Jamal. We appreciate you, my good brother. Thank you, Dr. Jamal.
Yes, sir.
Your phone. And if we have no other hand. Oh, we have one more hand raised. And once this hand is raised, we're going to go into the closing. So, you know, prepare yourself with your pen and your pad to be able to take down information and also have an opportunity to promote your Juneteenth program that's scheduled to happen here. So I'm going to give you that time to close out. Brother Shaheed, and then we'll have just one, I think it's one other hand raised here. We'll get that. That is your good friend. It's 314-833. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to your very distinguished esteemed guest, Imam Shaheed Abdullah, and also your reoccurring guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost for you, because you're very valuable to us in this community, and the information that you're disseminating is a griot, and all we don't have that many that we can look to, whether it was lost, the information was lost, or we became unconscious of it. And that was a great question that Rashid asked in terms of the extinction of our people. My question to you, you know how much I appreciate what you're doing and supporting what you're doing and this outstanding publication. Of course, I want to say to the radio listening audience, everybody that's listening in, you need to purchase this book. And I would say purchase more than one copy. There's somebody that you love and care for. And so we have had this thing for a long time. You love for your brother and your sister what you love for yourself. So I would recommend you buy more than one copy. And if you love your community, do like we're doing here in St. Louis. We're buying a case of books. And we want to make sure that this gets out not only to the Muslim community but the outer community, because as Imam Shaheed has so eloquently articulated, many of even European Americans are not even aware of this information. So please do that. So my question real quickly is in terms of Imam Shaheed, how this has influenced and impacted the mental attitude and disposition of many of our young people in terms of how we see each other and how it is that we interact with each other. That's my question to you. And once again, I want to thank you so much. Thank Rashid Salam for having you on. This has been very informational and educational. Thank you. May Allah continue to bless you and us. Assalamu alaikum.
That is an excellent question, and I'd like to just answer for a thought. And the thought is, earlier I mentioned that in 1932 a research was done showing the advances of the African-American people at that time. And now we're 65 years later, and now all of that has nearly disappeared. The question I would like for the listeners to keep in mind as a form of goal, what position would the African-American people be in if we accumulated all of that within just 36 years, what they have found in 1932? It only took us 36 years. Now we took us 65 years. That time has doubled. What advances could we have made had we had worked together half as much as those that were born that time of segregation? Now, that is only a question to lay the foundation to project for us to the future in terms of how we can move into the future and the advances we can make, because the potential is there. The potential for growth is greater than in the African-American community than any gold or any silver or any diamond on the planet Earth. The potential for growth in the African-American community is that if it was a stock on the market, it would be the best stock on the market, because the potential for growth in the African-American community, just measure that, what I just gave you, is tremendous. Outrageous. But that's one point I just wanted to make about that. But absolutely, you're right in terms of the youth have been, we've been following the European way of life, and it's good for the European, but it's not good for us. It's been a life that taught us how to be entertainers and how we can be servants to run their corporations and take care of their children and do those kind of things for them. But that is not for us. This is why our young people have such a hard time relating to each other, because they are not getting formation in the formula on how to relate to one another. Remember in that definition of culture, that's one of the things you have to learn, just how to relate to one another. A culture teaches you that. See, but the culture that the European has developed doesn't do that. They have given us all kinds of concepts of what an African-American should look like and be like in their movies that they show on the TV screen. I mean, they got us as gangsters and hoodlums and everything else. They put a whole system on during the time of this system who became very popular in the motion pictures, but it was all about the African-Americans becoming somewhat gangsterous and Superfly and all of those kinds of movies, destroying the idea of the African-American youth. It wasn't aimed at the African-American adults, because they'd already formed their ideas and concepts. It was aimed at the African-American youth who were just walking in short pants and some just still crawling. But those are the ones who were affected by those concepts given by the Europeans so that the African-American strive to become an athlete or an entertainer or a great servant, and say, go to the European and say, is this good enough for you? Is this good? But when it comes to our own neighborhoods, we weren't given any format or formula on how to relate to each other in a productive way. So this is why we run into the problem today with our youth. But we can correct that. All those things will be corrected. As I said, the potential for growth in the African-American community is tremendous. We can correct all these problems. African-Americans will not have to beg anybody or ask anybody for anything, from jobs to food. We're already filling all the jobs and giving all the food. We're the cooks. We're the real cooks. We're the real entertainers in terms of how things should be done. It's our industry, the music industry. They come up with, they didn't invent jazz. We invented it. They didn't invent any of those. We invented all of those things out of our lungs, out of our substance of our own emotional capacity and intellectual approach to sound. We invented that. They copy us today. They copy jazz. They copy rock and roll. All that's a copy. They're not the originators of the music industry. We are. But they benefit the greatest from it. We need to look at these great aspects and start looking at medicine and science the same way. They didn't benefit. They benefited from the Henrietta Lacks test.
I'm telling you.
They cured polio. They cured a whole lot of things. The African Americans didn't get a dime from that.
That's right.
They benefited from that. They benefited from that. The Tuskegee experiment. We didn't get anything from that. The point is that we must begin to look at that gap of 20, 65 years, that potential that's sitting out there, that potential. All we have to do is become more cognizant of our own culture, look at our own uniqueness, and begin to share in a common direction our language and our awareness of that language, our awareness of ourselves. And this day, and one that I believe was Marcus Garvey, one of the upright nation. It could have been Booker T. Washington, most of it.
Right.
Got the show down by your book.
Booker T. Washington.
But all those things are true. We have to believe it. The European culture does everything it can to make us not believe in ourselves. Everything it does, it makes us believe that we can't be ourselves unless we socialize with them. They make us believe that we can't be achieving unless they approve of it. They make us believe those things. There's no spooky going on in this world. These are people who put together programs enough to make us doubt our own existence, our own ability to achieve. We must begin to face ourselves, come to our own rational conclusion. We must be moved forward like every other nation and people move forward on their own, with their own concept of reality, God, the way we relate together, and everything else.
All right, my good brother. I tell you, now I just want to, I have one more line to get to. I want to get this one caller, and I want you to begin to share with us how we can get the book and any information you want to share with us before you get off the line. But see, I just want to ask this one question. Is this definition of culture, the distinct social system that you talk about, is that in your book?
It's the first paragraph.
Okay. Very good.
It's the first paragraph.
Okay, I'm gonna do that. All right, so I'm gonna take this one caller. Number we got 706-627. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. It's Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. And I just like to share also with us, you know, the identity problem that we are dealing with and how we are trying to focus in on what is best for us as a human being who has been discriminated by discrimination. You know, not only is the Caucasian man discriminating against us, history shows us that every nationality, including our own, has been discriminating against us because the discriminator is our open enemy, Satan, of which we all are aware of, but how much we are believing, how much he influences our development here on earth is another matter. At the same time as those 65 years ago that you're speaking of, and thank God very much for the work that you're doing. But at that same time, God was sending a message to us to be Muslim, you know, to start it, to develop it and free us from many, many harmful identities that we had, slave, nigger, MF, SOB, and we finally got a dignified name that connected us back to our creator, you know, and that was came in through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who made us accept where we was, but rest assured that we need to be preparing ourselves for submitting to God and be an example to all the world where everybody can meet that. What way of life, what kind of culture can we all share in? And we are forced by the nature of it, to be fair and just to each other. And we come finding out in that split at that time.
Let me say this, Brother Muhammad. We're trying to get him off the air. We're already over time. So if you have a question, please ask the question.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead. No problem. Go ahead.
I'm trying to do what he has to do so we can get to the next call.
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Anything else? I mean, go ahead. I want you to
I yield. Go ahead. Okay.
Brother Abdullah,
I want to make a comment on what you're saying about the movement being relevant.
Yes, sir.
And it was relevant because it's once we identify what he spoke about, and to understand why it's not followed. Jesus is right himself. Anytime people follow a man, he has not properly inspired me. God created man to be successful. Every human being on the earth was successful naturally. In our nature, God created us in our nature for man to be successful. What you mentioned earlier, that you thought a minute,
that's
the next book. God understand that policy. What is one of the people.
Brother Rashid, he's fading out.
They inspire people to be themselves. themselves because they can tell of the group. That's where the power is. It's the group coming together, realizing who they are, what the potential God has put in them, they can move forward as a people. All nations and all cultures do this. This is not a phenomenon. This is not an anomaly. It's not unnatural. It's a natural process. All cultures do this. They come together on their uniqueness and advance. That's what we have to do.
Okay. All right, my good brother, we want to thank you and thank those who are on the air tonight. If you want to go ahead and kind of give a closing remark as well as share with us how we can access your book and any upcoming programs that you have coming up, please let us know. And we appreciate you still on the line for the other hour. We do have Abdul Shaheed, who's our speaker, our host also on the show, because you're basically saying the same thing he's been telling us, but in a completely different way, and we want to appreciate and thank you. But I'm really, truly interested in understanding that social system at a level I've never taken it on before. So I'm looking forward to getting the book myself. So go ahead, my good brother.
Okay, I don't want to take to anyone. I didn't know you had
okay.
Now,
go ahead.
I want to do it quickly and as succinctly as I possibly can. And I don't want to leave out anything that would be pertinent to what we are doing and want to do. The thing is that we are having a program this Thursday in honor of Juneteenth. And that program is Thursday evening, 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time. And it's a Zoom. So everybody, you can either email me or go to my website, Shahid, S-H-A-H-I-D, underscore, Abdullah, A-B, A-U-L-L-A-H 2000@yahoo.com. And I will email you the information how you can go into the Zoom. We got it online now, so many people already have it. That's how you can get to the Zoom this Thursday evening. And it's going to be a dynamic evening. It's in honor of the Juneteenth celebration. And the Juneteenth celebration is for the freedom that the African-American has to advance himself.
Okay.
That's the concept. Freedom to advance our own self is that Juneteenth idea. And my books, all of them are on Amazon. Can be purchased on Amazon. You can go through it on my name or the name of the book, and you can purchase the book there. If you'd like to purchase the book at my website, you can just go to my email address, the one I just gave you, and say you would like to purchase the book, and I'll be able to ship you the book out, and you avoid all of the shipping costs and everything else if you do it that way. Just go to and say you would like to purchase a book, the name of the book, and the price is of the book. The price of the book is on Amazon is $25.20, and if you do it online with me direct, it'll be $20, and that'll be your shipping cost. You'll have to pay the shipping cost. You will have to pay if you get one on Amazon, but that's a quick way of getting it. That's the way of getting the book and all the other books that I have. And my number, you can reach me also by phone at the area code 201, excuse me, area code 908-296-2558. And that's Shaheed Abdullah. And you can order a book directly. And be sure to try to make our next program, because the program that Brother Rashid was mentioning, we're going to talk more about that program. And that's a program of how we can go about this whole process of developing our culture and throughout the country and using this connection between the Association for Community Planning and the African-American cultural community, how we can do that, how that can be done just simply. It's very, very easy and not anything difficult. It's just we just have to just follow the simple steps, and Allah will bless us because he didn't intend for us to fail. And we got to remember that. Allah, God did not intend for us to fail. The European financial crisis did that. Once we recognize this and turn to our uniqueness and the qualities we have, success is automatic. It's just automatic. Don't be afraid of it. It is automatic. All we have to do is believe it and do it.
Okay. Well, we shall thank you very much for the valuable and the priceless information you share with us. And those of you who want to get a recording of this particular program, you can get that. And we have those of you who received an email from me or a text from me. At the bottom, you have the HTTP. That is a live broadcast right now. But also tomorrow it will be a recording where you can go back and study this like I'm going to do, because I know there's so much information given, and I look forward to continuing and the information, continuing the reading, continuing the growth and development, and the opportunity to build community life is sitting right before our eyes. He just gave us an idea on how to go about doing that. So we just have to be in touch with each other, begin to communicate with each other. And as he said, that's a part of our culture value system. So we want to make sure we really truly understand that. And we look forward to continuing hearing from you, Brother Abdullah. And I look forward to working with you for sure. So anyone who needs information, who didn't get it all, you can always contact me at 650-669-0458. That's 650-669-0458. So thank you, my good brother. You don't have to leave now. You can stay on the line and continue. We're going to bring on our professor of symptometry, the science of health and you, who we have here regularly to share with us and provide us some tools and information and education that probably ties right in line with what you're talking about. So Abdul Shaheed, the floor is yours. I'm going to drop the mic. I'm overwhelmed right now.
As-salamu alaykum. And we give all praise and thanks to the Almighty for allowing us to be here with the listening audience this evening. And we certainly thank our brother and give the greeting. As-salamu alaykum to Brother Shaheed Abdullah, our social scientist, connecting our gene with our culture, our heritage. We certainly appreciate the good work that you are doing, and we would definitely be purchasing the book. Matter of fact, we want to get by several of them to pass around here in the Atlanta metro area. So we definitely thank you for being with us this evening and for making your presentation on uncovering the scheme preventing the evolution of the African-American culture. Inshallah, we're going to try to make a few connections about health. Brother Rashid and myself, we've been talking about this subject for many, many weeks now, many weeks. We must take our health seriously, brother and sister. We are connected with our past. Our brother mentioned the genes. The genes hold the key. The genes hold the keys. And we talked about the genes often on this program. And on other programs, we talked about the genes and what the genes represent. And this is where our solution is, Brother Rashid. Is already within each and every one of us. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fret. We don't have to be under attack. Our people have been traumatized, and it affected our human anatomy and physiology. That means our physical health, our physical being, it has been affected by the traumatization. And many of us have been traumatized many times. Matter of fact, our mother, when we was in our mother's womb, Brother Rashid, based on the food that she ate, we went through trauma. The baby inside went through trauma. So we've been traumatized. And we have not gotten the therapy from our slavery experience. No therapy at all. Maybe that's good, Brother Rashid, because whatever therapy they would have presented with us probably wouldn't work in the first place. Because here's what has to happen. Our genes are perfect. They cannot be destroyed. They're indestructible. The genes are indestructible. Listen to us carefully. The genes are indestructible. They can't be destroyed. The Almighty has secured that. We have our body composed of 75 to 100 trillion cells. In each one of those cells, there's a nucleus that represents the engine of the cell. In the nucleus, we will find these entities, the genes, the chromosome, the chromatins, the DNA, all within the genes. Within the gene, you'll find the histone and the nuclear histone that records everything, brother and sister. The subtle change in the mood of the person is recorded by the histone within the genes. Nothing is left out. It's all recorded there. Also, the gene releases the blueprint. What's the blueprint? The instruction for the cells to produce all of those things to keep us on a paradigm of health while we live in this very toxic and predatory place called Earth. Very toxic. And it's a predatory. You know, it's almost like dog eat dog, you know. It's a very predatory place, and we've been taking this place for granted. Even our experience that we've encountered for 400 years. And I said once or twice on this program that we can lift all of our hereditary burden, all of them. It's inside of us already, the key. It's in the genes. But that's a prerequisite that must take place. We must repair our DNA. Our genes are incapacitated because it will not release the blueprint to a DNA that's in disrepair. And because of our trauma that we've gone through, just about every person on the planet Earth has been traumatized at some point in their life or many times in their life. So we don't hold a monopoly on trauma, but no one has been traumatized to the extent of the African American. Everything emptied out of us. But they could not destroy the genes. I said earlier, the genes are indestructible. Even a nuclear bomb cannot destroy them. A gene comes from the gene pool, goes back thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon hundreds of thousands of years. Brother Rashid, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
400 years would be just like a blimp among hundreds of thousands of years, wouldn't it be?
Yes.
It's just like a blimp on a radar screen. We had cultural life before coming to America. We have an existence before coming to America that goes back hundreds of thousands of years. We forget this. Clocked in our genes. It's in the good nuclear histone of our genes. They hold the knowledge, brother and sister, to solve every problem. To answer every question. To create opportunity out of the thin air for ourselves and others. It's in the nuclear histone, the good nuclear histone. The Almighty created everything in pairs. If you're not able to produce the following neurotransmitters, you will be on the paradigm or on the wavelength of the bad nuclear histone. No one knows what gene came together to produce them. No one knows what genes came together to produce them. They came from the gene pool. No matter what culture, no matter what race, no matter what nationality, no matter what ethnicity, doesn't matter. It comes from the gene pool the Almighty created. The genes that came together to produce us, no one knows the combination of them. The DNA, two types of DNA, nuclear DNA, mitochondrial DNA. The nuclear DNA from the father fused with the mitochondrial DNA from the mother to produce a whole new sequence of DNA. That's how it's done, scientifically speaking. And the human being on this planet has always been traveler, Brother Rashid. They've always traveled around this globe, regardless of what people say. After Columbus, he wasn't the first traveler.
Right.
Our people was already over here in America 15,000 plus years before Columbus. They were already here. People was already here, Brother Rashid. Can you imagine?
Yes, sir.
So the human being always was a traveler. And when they traveled, they encountered other human beings. And you know what they did? They intermarried. They intermingled. Added more genes to the gene pool. Whole new sequences. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years this took place. 400 years would be just like a blip on a radar.
Yes,
one
sir.
Blip. But this is information we just have to be aware of. We have to know. We have a destiny. We, the African-American people, have a destiny. And it's clocked into our genes. This is why health is so important, Brother Rashid, because if a person cannot produce these following neurotransmitters, these are the things that make us human. Acetylcholine for thinking, for comprehending, for creativity, contemplation, all those things that the Quran has asked us to do. But you can't do it without acetylcholine, a neurotransmitter, to deal with the stress and the trauma. We must have norepinephrine. We must be able to produce it. Serotonin, we must be able to produce it. They all work together to give us a conscience, to help us to be on the paradigm of a human. It is our cells that produce our mind. The 75 trillion, 100 trillion cell produce the mind of the human being, the unseen, to work together along with our brain, the part that you can see. So if we can produce those three neurotransmitters, we'd be on the wavelength of our good nuclear histone that will beam unfiltered knowledge to our memory, unfiltered by any man, unfiltered knowledge. Knowledge that has not been distorted. Much of the knowledge we receive, Brother Rashid, I don't care how much education we get, it's distorted. But the knowledge that comes from the nuclear histone, the good nuclear histone, will be undistorted. But we won't receive or be on the same wavelength until we can produce those three neurotransmitters. In order to produce those three neurotransmitters, we must protect our DNA. We must protect it. How do we protect our DNA, Brother Rashid? It's all about health.
Yes.
We must know about health. We have to become knowledgeable. Knowledge, okay. The unseen. We can't see knowledge. But this is how we protect our DNA. This is how we restore our health. Our health is constantly deteriorating. Dr. Maxwell Nordis made this statement. He's the founder of the American School of Symptometry and the founder of symptometric science called symptometry. He said once that we are built for life at the bottom of the troposphere. It was over 10,000 years of cell neglect due to ignorant misinformation, disinformation, misguidance, with all kinds of bogus theories, questionable diet, and belief system that made mankind to head in the wrong direction, thereby missing the total truth about cellular health. Our help comes from ourselves, brothers and sisters. In order for us to be able to produce those three neurotransmitters, acetylcholine, norepinephrine, serotonin, we must learn to cook our food scientifically. We must learn to eat scientifically, that is, using science to select the best food for us to eat. And we must learn to live on this planet scientifically. And we'll be able to lift all of our hereditary burden from the effects of slavery, just like it's never existed. But most of us are not going to do it. Most of us not going to make the right decision to take care of the needs of our brain cells. Our brain is impoverished. We've been consuming the wrong food, the wrong water, the wrong beverages. We use herbs. We make use of pharmaceuticals. We eat chaotically. This is our problem with the culture. This is our problem with the culture. We're in the wrong paradigm. Absolutely, we've been miseducated, misinformed. But all of that has to change, and all of that can change. We have to take our health seriously, brothers and sisters. We have to learn how to produce all of the HDL to fill a full reservoir of HDL. That's good cholesterol. To prevent our cell membrane from becoming calcified. If our brain cells become calcified, the cell of our body become calcified, no matter what the best food we're eating, we can choose to eat all of this food and pick it and choose it scientifically. The nutrient will not enter the cell because our cell membrane will become calcified, not permeable, where things flow both ways into the cell. There's a lot for us to learn, brothers and sisters. We must consume the correct salt. The human being is energy dependent. We depend on energy. We depend on energy. And when our energy level is being depleted based on the food that we're eating, the water we're drinking, and the trauma that we're experiencing that we have not corrected, then our cell would not have the resources they need to keep us healthy on a paradigm of health. Our cell would not have those resources. They won't have the resources. For a symptomatic science, there will be internal and external peace among individuals who can produce those neurotransmitters. Acetylcholine, serotonin, norepinephrine. There's a relationship among all of us. The Almighty says he created one human family. One human family. And we're all connected, whether we want to be or not. We're all connected. No superiority one for another one. None. We all have the same human potentials. We have to know this. We have to understand this. It's up to each and every one of us. Up to each and every one of us. These are the information and things we must teach our children. But it starts with our health. It starts with our mothers. She has to eat the right foods. She has to think good thoughts. She can't be loaded with negative energy from disappointment from her partner, from her husband, from her spouse. She must be filled with positive energy in order to produce an intelligent, healthy baby. Our thoughts are very important. How are we going to do all these things when we've been traumatized basically all our life? But the human being is very resilient. All he needs is the knowledge. And it starts with our health, brother and sister. That's where it starts. It starts with our health. So, Brother Rashid, we're going to just pause right here and see if anyone have any question.
Okay. Well, you know.
And the information our brother shared is excellent information. Yes. But we've been on this track for a while.
Yes, indeed. And it was just confirmation. Some of the terminology that he used was specific in what we have been talking about. You know, I just want to say this one thing. You know, I've always wanted to be a psychologist or a teacher. And, you know, when I went in, and I was in Oakland, California, the Black Psychologists Association came to Oakland, had a convention. And they invited all the churches out and all the nonprofit organizations out, and they made a statement that was just profound to me when they said, the information that we've gone to school for, this thing called psychology and mental health, we have done it wrong because it wasn't out.
Yes.
They had made the statement, they came and said, look, we just have to acknowledge, that's the president of the Black Psychology Association. You know, some of us have degrees from psychology schools, and we think we got it like, you know, DCM or DSM book and all this type of thing. But once again, the brother made it very plain to us, it was somebody else's cultural idea. So
yes.
For that person to, I mean, the president of the Black Psychology to acknowledge to the community of Oakland, California, we can't help you. You're going to have to help us redetermine and re-identify how to help Black folks when it comes to mental health. It was just an amazing statement, you know, and it didn't really dawn on me until about a year later when he really said that, you know,
exactly.
Look at the condition of our community, the traumatic experiences that we're going through, what's happening to us. We walk around like zombies. We basically have no conscience. Well, who's going to help us? So when the man was talking about what we can do and how we can do it, if we do our own research and get involved in our own thing. So you take this symptometry. This is not something that the European country has given us. This is an exclusive study about you, and that's why we call this show The Science of Health in You. We are a scientific and mathematical equation, whether we want to accept it or not. So how do we deliver this message to our children? And for those of you here on the line, please, if we say something today that piqued your interest, and we said something today that, you know, elevated your thinking process in some shape, form, or fashion. And I know we have this conflict going on where we've learned from school. Some of us have master's degrees and some of us have PhDs. And I always say master's degree is cool as long as you know how to use it, you know, because it is master's degree. And I think we got that confirmation with our brother talking about the scheme and how they have infected our culture. And everything about us, it just has to be redone, you know, and we have to accept that fact and just say, we don't know, and begin to grow ourselves a little bit better. So I just want to say that just from my perspective, and those of you who have a question who may want to share some information while we have the time, we have to slow down and understand where we are. We're living in a sick society, and we have been infected also, and so some of us think we know what we're talking about and we really haven't done the research on ourselves, the science on ourselves, and possibly not gotten the right information, because disinformation and misinformation has been the key element over the last 3 or 4 years because of this so-called COVID thing. And, you know, anybody who feels hung up on COVID-19, I think we're going to cover that a little bit. We're getting ready to go into the summer, and people are still thinking this is real to the degree you're just sick physically. You know, your body
exactly.
is just wearing out. And any infection that you get can have an effect on your body. But have you ever paid attention to how healthy are you? You know, and we have this show every Tuesday talking about good health and the purpose of health. If you don't have good health, you're going to get a disease. And we let these people tell us about the virus that's already been here, always have been here, and give us a definition of it. And we just fear
We have stress, anxiety, and we just don't get this. It's a mental disposition. We think that they have created such fear that what you're saying go, you're going to wear yourself to death. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think being that we had this great show tonight and what you're sharing with us tonight, I think we should go back and just deal with the mental disposition that this thing called COVID-19 has done to us. Not the physical virus. It's just the mental state that's been created because of the word COVID-19. And then we need to talk about that vaccine. We mess with our RNAs. And, I mean, I don't really want to get anybody mad at me because some of us are taking the shot. You know, we do know how we have to have blood sanitation. We know we can take care of that thing once we have to take it. But there's some things you can do to avoid some of the problems that you're going to have. If you don't think, if you think you're not going to have any problem taking that shot, I think you better do your research. And so we can talk about that a little bit more. So with that, I just want to ask anyone who has a question to raise your hand, push one on your phone. And if you have something you want to say, feel free. But we're getting ready to get into some very long-term educational concepts on the science of health and youth. We're going to get real. We may hurt your feelings, but the truth is the truth. But my focus, and always will be my focus, is our children, my grandchildren, my children. I am adamant about making sure that they have a different way of thinking. And everybody who knows or who's been on this line knows this science, this entometry, it's in another category. It's an elevation. It's an education of looking at yourself a completely different way. So feel free to press one on your phone to get some information. And this fear thing, you know, we're not going to use that as an excuse anymore, you know, because we don't have time to be worried about you being afraid. What you better be afraid of is the consequences of what's going to happen to you if you don't elevate yourself, if you don't pick up the telephone and call somebody and ask for some help. And you have to recognize we don't know. And that's okay. You know, Brother Shahid just shared with us. They have a scheme, a scheme to prevent the evolution of the African-American culture. And now we have a new definition for the word culture. I mean, it was just so enlightening to hear that, my brother. So why don't you just share a little bit about that, Abdul, and then those of you who may have a question, please press one on your phone. If not, then we'll begin the process of closing down and getting ready for next Tuesday because I'm already ready. You know, I'm already ready for the book. I mean, myself and Mark Shahid, we ordered 30 of them the other day, and I'm going to make it a point to order 30 every week because I'm going to promote this, share it with other people, buy it for someone else if they have to have it. And I have a plan of action that I want to elevate the thinking process of people in my community as well as in my family, and that's my focus. Go ahead, Brother Abdul.
Yes. You know, we talk about no different civilization before us that passed away. Many of them passed away because of what they was eating, Brother Rashid.
Yes,
the
Aztec, that's my point.
The Mayan, the Indian, they ate corn. Okay, they ate corn, and corn is a poison. They could not produce those three neurotransmitters, and they're thinking what was affected, and the enemy was able to defeat them. Think about it. Their enemy was able to defeat them because they lost their thinking capacity. They destroyed their neurotransmitter, acetylcholine. They destroyed it. They compromised the DNA. The first thing on the list of DNA saboteurs, poison. They compromise the DNA. If the DNA is in disrepair, the genes will never release the blueprint to it. Never. If the gene will not release the blueprint to the DNA, it means the person will never be able to produce acetylcholine, serotonin, norepinephrine to keep them on a sharp paradigm to protect themselves, to think, make plans, preparation. This is what we have to do, Brother Rashid. This is it. We have to understand what we're eating, what we're drinking. We have to understand these are things that will compromise our health, the health of our body, and eventually the health of our brain.
Yes, sir.
And we all talk about protecting our brain power, our brain. It's being affected. Many of the people on the planet are connected with the bad nuclear histone. Bad nuclear histone. And this is all we need to remember right now. We're going to go into detail next week, God willing. And then we're going to wrap up the brain and the nervous system. We got to talk about those other systems. We got to bring them all together, Brother Rashid.
Yes, sir. And all
if we don't get our brain together, we're going to be on the wavelength with the bad nuclear histone that will be beaming unfiltered, that will be beaming filtered knowledge, distorted knowledge. There'll be so much distortion in the knowledge that we receive. And they will be making our decision for us. That's what will be happening. He will cause us to have deviant behavior. What we see in the society, in the culture today. We have a culture.
Absolutely. Yes.
We're known for culture. Every people on the planet have a culture. But right now, it's going in the wrong direction. Because most of our people are on the wavelength with a bad nuclear histone, producing deviant culture. That's what's produced. That's what's being produced. This is how it happens. Because of the so many trauma we've experienced, and no one have the solution. But now we have symptomatic science, and we have to take our health seriously. When a man and a woman get together to produce a child, you have to take it seriously. HDL is in the man. How much HDL in the woman? It's going to affect the child. All those hormones that the mother has to produce to build a baby inside of her must have HDL, good cholesterol. If not, there will be problem. There will be problem in the brain, problem in the body. And it's the same way with the man. He doesn't escape either. He must produce a sperm of high quality. High quality. If you have a cholesterol problem, he has a problem. The child is going to have a problem. These things are fundamental, Brother Rashid. They're fundamental.
We don't know.
The basic.
We don't know. No.
We need to deal with. We need to have children coming here to be intelligent, law-abiding. Give us something to work with. We have to make this change. We have to change the thinking and the paradigm. And this is how we do it. We can't take anything for granted.
This is why we have the science of health and you. It's just plain and simple, and we just have
plain
to do the research.
Simple.
You know, this scientific information, we just have to do the homework, and we have to change our paradigm by which we think. We have to change our ability to think, quite frankly. And some of us
yes.
think we're thinking, really not. And I know this feels bad. When someone told me the first time, you don't even know you don't know, I was blown away. You know, and then but you have to accept this fact. It's like a drug addict. You have to recognize that you're a drug addict before you can make a change. I have to accept the fact that I am a drug addict. I have to accept the fact that I am an alcoholic. And we have to accept the fact that we don't know.
Yes.
Accept it. And then go help yourself so you can help your family, so you can help your children, so you can help your neighbor, your relatives. This is the responsibility that we have. You know,
this is
and
how we change it.
Yeah, and I'm still thinking about the statement he made. We could be possibly extinct. Do we understand what that means? I mean, it's amazing. I mean, whoever thought of, you know, I mean, we no longer, our existence could no longer be here. And who fault would it be?
Well, here's the thing, though, Brother Rashid. I said earlier, our genes are immortal.
Yes, sir.
They cannot be destroyed.
Right.
Somebody's
so
going to be here.
Respected.
Yeah, somebody got
yeah, somebody's going to be here.
Right. Who's that going to be?
The gene comes from the gene pool. Before the person dies, they've already left the body.
Mm-hmm.
They're back at the gene pool. You know the difference between the genes and the atoms?
Go ahead, Bob. I know it's a quantum exposure, but what is it? Go ahead.
You know, atomic collision created everything in the universe, including human beings. Atomic collision. The Almighty created the atoms. And the atom created everything else we see in the universe, including humans. But the human has genes. They are indestructible, just like the atom. But here's the difference. And you think about this for the rest of the week, Brother Rashid.
Yes, I will. And we're talking to the audience, too. Why are you just talking to me, guys?
The atom, at some point, will run out of energy, even though it's just indestructible. It will run out of energy at some point. But the genes will never run out of energy until the Almighty folds up the creation. It has blueprint releasing energy. It will always release the blueprint to a DNA that is in good repair. Man can try to destroy all the creation it can destroy. He did not create it, and he do not have enough knowledge to destroy it.
All right.
The best thing he can do is transform one state of matter into another state of matter. That's the best he can do. Transformation
right.
of force. That's all he can do. He takes what the Almighty has created in place here, and he manipulates it. He can transfer it from one form to another. He can't create it, nor can he destroy it. That's what we always have to remember.
Yes, sir.
How can he destroy something he did not create?
As a fact.
He doesn't hold the knowledge to do it. So our genes are indestructible. Poison cannot destroy them, even though poison can kill us.
Okay.
Trauma can destroy us. Trauma. But we can learn to mitigate trauma. Trauma depletes the nutrients in us. It depletes the energy in us. But now we have the knowledge to eliminate the trauma. Produce those three neurotransmitters I said earlier. Acetylcholine, serotonin, norepinephrine will lift all of our hereditary burden once and for all. So I'm asking our listeners to come back and get the detail on how to produce all those neurotransmitters and the enzymes that speed up their production and not to denature the enzyme and how to activate the enzyme. Get the knowledge that we need to survive on this planet.
Yes, sir. All right.
So we've learned a lot from the Caucasian. Well, he's not the only predator on this planet. Not a lot of unseen predators. We cannot even see. That one we can see. So we're in it with that, Brother Rashid. I guess I got a few minutes. We can share our contact information.
Yes, sir.
This has been an exciting lab for me to sit back and listen to our brother, Shahid Abdullah. Imam Shahid Abdullah, and we're looking forward to reading his book and getting his other books. Definitely. Because every piece is a connection for us, Brother Rashid. We need it all.
Yes.
We need it all.
We want to bring it to the lab. Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. So if there's no hand raised, we'll go ahead and give our contact information.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. If anyone have a need to contact us, we know all diseases are curable. Just like they say, they only treat symptoms. That's allopathic medicine, but we know something more than that. All diseases are curable because all we have to do is correct the problem with the DNA
repair the DNA, and the gene would release the blueprint as instructed by the Almighty. And the DNA would pass on the instruction to the three RNAs to produce whatever the cell needs to produce to restore our health. That's how it works. Every disease is curable, but of course it's up to the person who has the disease. But if you need help to figure all that out, just give us a call at 678-572-7269. That number again is 678-572-7269. Also, you may send us an email at ashaheed2@gmail.com. ashaheed2@gmail.com. And we spell Shaheed, S-H-A-H-E-E-D. Also, please visit this website to get more information, more knowledge, more insight about your condition at amsos.org. Again, amsos.org. Please join us tomorrow for a new episode of Optimal Health on AM 360. All you have to do is call in to either one of these two numbers, 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Again, 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Optimal Health on AM 360 from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, we look forward to you all again next week in the lab on the signs of health in you. And Brother Rashid will give that information. And we look forward to a new episode of the signs of health in you on to next week. And we're already giving you pretty much what we're going to be discussing. Thank you, Brother Rashid. And we give thanks to our brother, Imam Shaheed Abdullah, for coming on and sharing with us excerpt from his book.
Amen. We appreciate you. You know, we always appreciate you, brother. You know, we, I mean, it's just always, you know, it's hard for me to go to sleep after I listen to information like this, and I'm up with my pad trying to pull out what encyclopedia I can pull out to get some definitions down pat, because then I'm driven. You know, I'm just so driven to share this information with someone else because I see the importance of what's taking place throughout our country.
Yes.
What's taking place in Congress, what's taking place in all aspects of our arenas that we are living in here in this Western Hemisphere. And, as you know, it's almost undaunting. When I finish talking to you, and just like I listened to Brother Shaheed Abdullah House, this is what we have to do. Who doesn't want to be better? Who doesn't want to correct what's the wrongs? I don't want to leave here knowing information that you're talking about, and I got an answer to the creator about what I did with it. That's not going to happen with me. I'm giving it up.
Mm-mm.
You know, so
I know that's right.
Ask each of those who are on the telephone. And Mark Shaheed always says, this is a family affair. So when we talk about family, we talk about African-American family. We talk about neighbors. We talk about anyone who's willing to listen, who has the ear to hear, who has the ear to want to participate in the arena to be a better person. That's all we're talking about. And at this point in our lives, if you don't think we need to be better people, we're in for a shot. I mean, our children. I work with youth in our hall. I work in prison reentry. I work with workforce development. I see, I hear, and I'm observing these damaged individuals, and I have to find a way to really get to them. You know, so as I said, on the internet, I have probably about 10 or 12 of my students on listening because I exposed them to this when I was doing the classes. They're all listening every week. You know, and that's a good thing, you know. So I'm just hoping that you individuals who come on this line, take the time out and share it with somebody else. Just send them the link. Say, just listen to it on your own time. Don't just sit back and do nothing. We invite them to the lab, and we look forward to Brother Abdul to get with you next week, and I definitely will be getting with you during the week as well. So we're going to end the show tonight with some closing remarks. We have our public service announcer who allows us, or shares with us, excuse me, what happens for the rest of the week on IWDM. You know, we are actively involved in sharing information about the building community life and family life. So I'll leave this to Mark Shaheed. And we got all these Shaheeds today. I mean, this
Absolutely.
Is the thing about Shaheed, man? I don't know what it is.
We want to say assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to you, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, and of course to IWDM radio listening audience, and also to good brother who gave an excellent presentation tonight, Imam Shaheed Abdullah. And so, all of us that are Muslims, we all the Shaheeds. You got to take the Shahada.
Absolutely.
And once you take the Shahada tain, then you are, in fact, a Shaheed, whether you have accepted that name or not, but you are a Shaheed when you take the Shahada tain. I thought I would say that. But I also want to commend you, Rashid Salam, and Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on an excellent, excellent production tonight. Wonderful information as always here on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. And it's been a wonderful experience just tuning in and listening in. I got a lot of information tonight. I'm quite sure the radio listeners have too. And the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. As tomorrow, we will have the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And the Honorable Judge Joe Brown has agreed to come back and be with me tomorrow in the absence of our beloved sister, Dr. Patricia Slow-Dean. And we'll have a general discussion in terms of parenting and family reconstruction learning lab. And we'll get some insights from the wise judge, Judge Joe Brown. He'll be joining me tomorrow, and that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, so you don't want to miss that. We ask that you do tune in, and we also want to say we're excited the following week that we will be going to another publication that we'll be using in the Learning Lab, and that is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah. Yes, you heard it right. Parenting skills based on the Quran and the Sunnah. Now, how many of us have been able to utilize parenting skills? In most cases, we have not. So this will be an excellent opportunity to get in on this, and we'll provide the information how you can purchase that book, and we know you can purchase it through Amazon. You just go there and type in parenting skills based on the Quran and the Sunnah. And that will be the textbook we'll be using for quite some time. And it's an excellent, excellent publication, a lot of great information. So you don't want to miss that. So please tune in tomorrow with Honorable Judge Joe Brown joining me tomorrow. And then following that would be the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And my special guest, honor guest, will be Abdul Rahim Sabir, a brother that I've known for over 50 years in this community, who is a certified family-to-family teacher, a NAMI. NAMI being the acronym for the National Association of Mental Illness. Oh, boy. We're going to talk. It seems like we start talking about the mind tonight. And it'll be continued tomorrow with Brother Sabir joining me at the MGM Roundtable. So you don't want to miss that. That begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 7 p.m. Central, and it is 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. So you'll be in for a lot of great information, so please tune in. And then, you know, Thursday, it will be the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It will be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Joins yours truly, Mark Shahid. Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And it will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And we'll still be on the premarital questionnaire. We were just winding up last week on the interpersonal qualities. We'll complete that, and then we'll be moving into marital responsibility. This is an excellent time for those of you who are aspiring to get married, or those of you who are newlyweds just in marriage, and those of you who have may been in marriage for a while. All of you can benefit from listening to the premarital questionnaires, and maybe perhaps it will inspire you to want to be married, even if you are thinking that that's not for you. So we ask that you do tune in with Karan Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shahid. And then Friday, the beat goes on, as we know that this is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. And for those of you who are maybe immobile and can't get out and about to your local massages and Islamic centers, you can come back here to IWDM with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sai here, for Salatul Jumu'ah. It begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And the longest-running production that we have, Words Make People, once again with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir, as he always have intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. We do ask that you tune in, and that's each and every Sunday afternoon, beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is high noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And that brings us back to the beginning of the week with the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, hosted by the very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam, and his reoccurring guest, instructor Abdul Shahid. And so this also is a learning lab that you always need to have your pen and paper ready, and bring an open mind, open heart. Don't come back by yourself. You know, as we say here, it is a family affair here. Bring somebody or invite somebody from your family, some friend of yours, an associate, a neighbor, a community member. And that begins each and every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. We also want to say that that our beloved sister and my good friend, Fitcher Muhammad, at Study Al Islam, resumed this past Sunday, and they're going to have some outstanding hosts and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. It begins for those in the Eastern Standard Time Zone at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Central, and 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time for Study Al-Islam. Be on the lookout for that and tune in for that. Inshallah, God willing, I'll get the numbers for those of you who may not do Zoom, but you'll be able to call in and still listen in. And also the sister station also is simulcasting with that. We'll have all that information for you very soon. So stay tuned for that information. Call that number for Study Al Islam. And then last but not least, here on IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal. And so we do ask that you subscribe to the Muslim Journal. Think about a family member, a friend, associate, a neighbor, or maybe say a pioneer in the community, or if not, your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal, as it has served our community and others well down through the years. It is the lifeblood of the Muslim community and association, Imam W.D. Muhammad. So we do ask that you do subscribe to the Muslim Journal and look at purchasing a subscription for some person in the community. So with that being said, my dear brother, I want to say that this salam is for you and yours, Rashid Salam, and it's back to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking again. World has changed so very much of what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Just wake up now.
Wake up. Time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
All right. See you next week. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.